Disc 3.
Chapter 7. What are you doing here, please? Madame Lulu snarled. She strode quickly toward them, her own eyes glaring as angrily as the eye she was wearing around her neck. What are the freaks doing in the tent, please? And what are the freaks doing under the table, please? And please answer me this instant, please, or you will be very, very sorry, please. Thank you.
The Baudelaire orphans looked up at the fake fortune-teller, and a strange thing happened. Rather than quaking with fear, or crying out in horror, or huddling together as Lulu shrieked at them, the three children stood resolute, a phrase which here means did not become frightened at all. Now that they knew that Madame Lulu used a machine on her ceiling and an archival library under her table to disguise herself as a magical and mysterious person, it was as if every frightening thing about her had melted away, and she was just a woman with an odd accent and a bad temper who had crucial information the Baudelaires needed. As Madame Lulu carried on, Violet, Klaus, and Sunny watched her without a terrified thought in their heads. Madame Lulu yelled and yelled, but the children felt just as angry at Lulu as Lulu was at them.
"How dare you please enter the tent without permission of Madame Lulu?" Madame Lulu cried. "I am the boss of Caligari Carnival, please, and you must obey me every single moment of your freakish lives. Please, I have never seen, please, the freaks who are so ungrateful to Madame Lulu. You are in the worst of the trouble, please."
By now, Lulu had reached the table and saw the pile of broken glass which sparkled all over the floor.
"You are the breakers of the crystal ball!" she bellowed, pointing a dirty fingernail at the Baudelaires. "You should be ashamed of your freaky selves. The crystal ball is the very valuable thing, please, and is having of the magical powers."
"Fraud!"
Sunny cried.
"That crystal ball wasn't magical," Violet translated angrily. "It was plain glass, and you're not a real fortune-teller either. We analysed your lightning device, and we found your archival library."
"This is all one big disguise," Klaus said, gesturing around the tent. "You're the one who should be ashamed of yourself."
Madame Lulu said, but she shut her mouth before she could finish the word. She looked down at the Baudelaires, and her eyes grew very wide. Then she sat down in a chair, lay her head down next to the crystal ball, and began to cry.
"I am ashamed of myself," she said, in an unaccented voice, and reached up to her turban.
With a flick of her wrist, she unravelled the turban, and her long, blonde hair fell down around her tear-stained face.
"I am utterly ashamed of myself," she said, through her tears, and her shoulders shook with sobs.
The Baudelaires looked at one another, and then at the quaking woman sitting near them. It is hard for decent people to stay angry at someone who has burst into tears, which is why it is often a good idea to burst into tears if a decent person is yelling at you. The three children watched as Madame Lulu cried and cried, pausing only to wipe her eyes with her sleeves, and they could not help but feel a little bit sad, too, even as their anger continued.
"Madame Lulu," Violet said firmly,
though not as firmly as she would have liked,
"why did you—"
"Oh,"
Madame Lulu cried at the sound of her name,
"don't call me that."
She reached up to her neck and yanked on the cord that held the eye around her neck. It broke with a snap, and she dropped it to the ground, where it lay amid the pieces of shattered glass, while she went on sobbing.
"Ding,